You're listening to Within Our Reach, a podcast by Reachability Association that focuses on accessibility, inclusion, and leveling the playing field at work and in your community. My name is Blake Hunsley, and my co-host is Shelley Allward-McLeod, and today we're joined by Reachability's therapy dog handler and man of many responsibilities, Evan Dobby. Evan joined Reachability as a client in our free programming and has moved on to be a very important member of our staff. Today, as part of our 25th anniversary celebrations, he's going to tell us a bit about his journey through both sides of Reachability. Enjoy the episode. Today, we're actually going to be talking a lot more kind of inside baseball here at Reachability because we have the writer of our client journey section of our annual report is here to join us to tell us what it's like to be a client at Reachability and what that journey looked like for him. So first, we should introduce ourselves. I guess it has been a hot minute. I'm one of your hosts, Blake.
And I'm Shelley, your other host. So it's nice to have you back.
It's Blake. Nice to be back.
I hope you're feeling better.
I am post-COVID, post-COVID brain, thank goodness. The brain fog. Oh, my God. If this episode is just off the rails, you can blame me because
How long do you think we're allowed to use the brain fog thing? Because I had COVID last October. Is it fair
if
to
you're
say
still using it? I plan on going into the next decade with an excuse for my behavior. And I've finally got one. This is great. I use ADHD for half the things. I'll use COVID brain for the other half.
Exactly.
That'll be good. All right. Perfect. Sorry. On to our special guest. Evan, welcome. And thank you for putting up with us.
Thank you very much.
Why don't you tell the people listening who you are and what brought you here today?
Sure. My name is Evan Dobby. I have a sort of strange, unique experience in life. It was on a long, strange journey of caregiving for my parents, inevitably both of them. And when that journey ended and I was trying to figure out my next steps forward and what directions I wanted to go in, along that path and speaking to a few different people, Reachability came up, and I had not had success with a few other organizations, and I thought, all right, I'll give it a shot, and here I am now. Everything is much different.
Good. Okay. So you joined us as a client here at Reachability how long ago was that now?
It really was not that. It was just this summer, really. So I think it would have been July, I believe. I think I did intake in June, and then I did the first programming in July.
Okay. And you've had a successful but odd journey through Reachability because we've kind of adopted you as one of our own to an extent. So Evan, if you stop by the Reachability offices, you would see him around here. He's kind of wearing two hats these days. You're helping us with some IT work, and you're also helping us with some dog wrangling work with Neo, our therapy dog, too.
So indeed.
We're doing that typical thing that nonprofits do where they see that you're good at things and they just put you wherever they can make use of your skills. I don't want to slag any other agencies, but you mentioned that you hadn't had as good luck at some previous agencies before Reachability. So why don't we start there? What was the difference in the approach that you found here at Reach versus your previous experience at other agencies trying to find the same kind of assistance?
For me, it was really responsiveness and communication and actually just being available when contacted, when I first reached out, the response was prompt and quick. The vibe I got was good, which was nice because, again, I had a bit of a sour taste from some previous experiences. Mm-hmm. I was a little hesitant. I thought, well, maybe I'll give them a shot. Maybe I won't. We'll see how it goes. And I ended up coming down then for my intake with Crystal. Mm-hmm. And that experience was very pleasant, and I noticed immediately upon arriving the office that things felt a little different here. It looked different. It was livelier, for one thing.
Okay.
I had been to a couple different offices, and they either felt very sort of dead and empty or very clinical and sterile, whereas Reach felt much more academic almost, in a very sort of like welcoming, pleasant environment with a staff that was not only present but clearly got along, and there was a very good vibe of just a general, I don't know how to frame it exactly, other than it was just a pleasant atmosphere. And it seemed like everyone got along and that there was a sort of shared sense of positive values, I think.
It's funny that you say the positive values. That makes me really happy, actually, because Shelley, I know you've been around for some of these sessions before too, with us and with other clients. But we sit down once a year. We're actually slightly overdue right now for another session of this. But we sit down as a staff and examine our values once a year. Mm-hmm. And it's not a top down, the CEO coming in and saying, these are your values and this is what we'd here to know. It's a very open process where everybody from the newest employee, which would effectively be you, and we have this next time, we really get together and brainstorm out exactly what this place means to everybody and what it's going to mean going forward. And it's always funny to me that we kind of, it sounds silly to focus on vibes to an extent, but you made such a good point when you came in that feeling struck you so different.
Very different.
And tell me if this was the case for you, but I always assume anyone coming into Reachability who's looking for, and I mean, if people don't know by now, if this is your first episode, maybe you don't know what we do here, but we have employment preparation courses, we have courses to get you into volunteerism, back into education, and we also have emotional management courses and life management courses for people who aren't necessarily in a position to get directly into the workforce, who have some other personal building to do. That's all intense personal work that you've got to be very anxious to be undertaking, especially your very first visit when you're walking in and you know nothing about us.
Yes.
I can imagine a clinical sort of setting or a kind of sterile feeling setting would not really inspire you to do that work. So we've always aimed for more of a, I like to think of it like, you know, the cool teacher in high school who had the classroom that was decorated in a really warm and engaging sort of way. We try to make sure that everybody has that.
And especially for this here. This position of Reachability as this sort of like juncture of easing people back into that workforce, active daily living sort of environment, was really important. Whereas like I was familiar from my own previous mental health journey with that sort of much more clinical environment, and that's fine for certain things and for doing that hard work to like prepare you to be ready for that. But then when you're making that juncture, I felt that the easy environment really was conducive to that.
Okay. Nice. I want to, if you don't mind, I want to read something from your client journey portion of the AGM report that you wrote here, because this is, we talk a lot about building momentum around here. It's a lot of us, and I say us, not just clients, a lot of the staff too, when we first arrive here, we've been stuck in various ways. I count myself in that very firmly. So to build that momentum is a really big thing for us, and you address this directly, so I want to read from you if I can quote you here. You said, Reachability employs a focus on identifying and pursuing any actions that can be taken immediately and will generate the most possible benefit in order to manifest energy and drive forward momentum towards a client's goals. These successes help to raise self-confidence levels and encourage the client's investment in their own progress, further generating their own momentum. So what I want to ask you is, when you first started doing coursework here, what did you find that really kind of lit that spark for you and started building your momentum towards moving forward to where you wanted to be?
For one thing, I think I came in ready, which was a big part of it. But it was really being aware of that focus that really seemed asserted here of pursuing those, I don't want to say easy, but like readily attainable objectives that can be accessed in the near future with like available resources that you might just not be available or aware of, rather, that are just right there and ready for the taking, but you might not be simply aware of it or have the resources or think you do to access it, that very quickly can not only improve your sort of your appealability, or that's not a good choice, but like the general sort of attractiveness of let's say your resume to an employer, and immediately qualify you for a new sort of role or position or career that you never might have considered before, and then even if not, then it is just another accreditation that can help you stand out, look better to employers, and then not only that, but then give you that personal sense of achievement and accomplishment, that real sort of like objective concrete goals that you are making progress on, and you can see that and you can feel that, and that gives you that extra increased confidence that helps to develop that momentum and really create like a sense of forward inertia. Mm-hmm. So that momentum can keep carrying you forward with that confidence, carrying you further towards your goals in mm-hmm. life.
Okay. It sounds like, I think a lot of people when they come here, they feel, again, sometimes staff, but definitely most if not all of our clients, we hear a lot about people who don't feel that they have options. Yes. Is the main thing. I think it's so easy to get that stuck feeling.
That perspective is so critical. And
just
finding
to let
ways
someone
to
feel
it.
Like they have agency and choice mm-hmm. can be very powerful.
And that there are things that you know you're blind to and you haven't been considering yet for a multitude of reasons. But that inevitably, one way or another, you haven't noticed. Because of, whatever, the blinders on your eyes or just a lack of information or a lack of advertising or marketing on their part, whatever. And then just sort of realizing way down the road all these things that are possible that you just never considered, even though sometimes they're right under your nose, but you just never thought of it or looked at it in the right perspective.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's true. I think about the fact that many, there's other agencies out there, doing, get people back to the workforce type work. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I think is very unique to Reachability is looking at what are the skills that you have? What is it that you're wanting to do? And maybe there's a stepping stone to that. Maybe there's some volunteer work, mm-hmm. right, that could happen. Mm-hmm. And I was actually in one of the workshops and was talking to an individual, and they said, well, like, I don't really know what to do because, I have lots of volunteer work. It's kind of what I really want to do, but that's not a job. Mm-hmm. And, so it's, it's some of those type of things, understanding, well, yeah, actually, it could be mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It could be your stepping stone to getting, if you wanted paid employment, but that may be your way to get back into the workforce. The other thing that's also unique to Reachability is they also look at the pillar of entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. right? Versus, getting a, employer paid job, right?
Yeah.
Setting you up and exploring ideas for entrepreneurship. So it's nice. It's nice to hear your story. I loved reading your story in the AGM report. I thought that was, a very, very nice reflection on Reachability, and it's important, I think, because many of the staff, right, and myself as well as a consultant with Reachability who's worked with them for many, many years, we see changes, but we don't always see them through the client lens. We're seeing them from mm-hmm. the employer's lens. I mean, I think it's wonderful. Like, it is very welcoming when you walk in here. So it's nice that you've said that. Like, the vibe is very different. And this year I was observing when we had the open house, I was observing people coming in who'd never been before, mm-hmm. right? Even people coming from other agencies, some of our partner agencies or Stiggles, and looking around going, oh my gosh, oh wow. Because I think, right, they're thinking of other, organizations, mm-hmm. which is, white walls, right, very, no. very, as you use the word, like, clinical or mm-hmm. sterile, mm-hmm. And it does give a different vibe.
The physical environment itself, but also just the staff. I felt it was immediately recognizable that there wasn't that sense of everyone's already jaded and mm. sort of burnt out and done with the world mm-hmm. and just not suited for this sort of work at all, which I understand it is it's very trying stuff. But there was that sense that that everyone was still very committed, enthusiastic, on board, sense of community and teamwork mm-hmm. and sort of very sort of like horizontal level, sort of equitable workplace, and that, yeah, everyone actually cared and hadn't become sort of disenchanted with whatever their original intention might have been.
If I can toot our own horn just a tiny bit, I will say I think I've been here for coming up on 5 years now, so I've seen a lot of changes around here. I think we've struck a really good balance of finding people who, like you're saying, aren't jaded. They still have that genuine care to them, but they're not pie-in-the-sky idealists either. These are people who want to see practical growth. They want to see momentum actually building. They don't want to sit around and plan for weeks and weeks and weeks on end. They want to get something moving.
And that's why I feel that Reachability is so effective in that sort of junction role of developing that like real concrete movement while allowing sort of like understanding, compassion, and flexibility to do so on their own timelines and with their own capabilities and goals, but also with that, you know, regular encouragement, not forceful, but also wise application of resources, because again, they're also limited, and just that sense of like, what can we actually do practically to move you towards your goals, but what's realistic, and what can we do to just start making progress immediately? Like, how do we start, like, improving things right now?
Shelley, I'm interested in your thoughts on this, too, because I honestly, I forgot that you've been doing so much work with the employment side of things here lately. So you've been doing some work with the actual client classroom work here, too, lately, haven't you?
Yes.
So what's been, what struck you? Because you... you've spent a lot of time around Reach over the years, but this might be some of the more intense client time that you've spent lately.
Yes,
what's been your takeaway from that?
I think that the setup that we have now is a flow through the organization, being able to sort of customize individuals' time in each of the different areas that they might need, like your journey, Evan, as you said at the beginning, was relatively short and quick, right? Where some people come in and they, you know, based on their needs, right? Their journey is longer through the process, right? Because there's tools for everybody, and in the employment workshops or where I've been assisting is, I've been assisting in a couple of areas, which is, you know, to come in and give the employer perspective, if you will, or even the employment law perspective of hiring and cover letters, all the things that you've gone over, right? By the time I come in, the clients would have already talked about cover letters, would have already talked about interviewing, the resume, and done that work and prep. But now I'm coming in to talk about, okay, why does that mean so much? Like what, you know, tales from the field, if you will, right? To kind of bring some realism to it. And then I usually do some mock interviews, right? Because we do mock interviews, so that it's making the clients pushing them maybe outside of their comfort level to do a mock interview with somebody they may have just met that day, like I may have only just met the person that day, or even with another member of Reachability staff who's doing the mock interview that they see wandering around, but they don't know who they are. They don't know what...
that would usually be me.
Right? Yep. And they also don't have time to prepare. Like, they don't know what the questions are going to be. And that's intentional, right? Yep. Because, you know, in a lot of cases, you are able to find out what some of the questions might be in advance in interviews. But it's just to get... it's to take away some of that anxiety. And then to have a debrief afterwards. And then usually I'm going back into the classroom with whichever of the facilitators, and we're just doing a Q&A. You know, they're usually almost at the end of their section, and so it's now, okay, so what questions do you have, right? And they can be like so wide and varied what the questions are, depending on the clients. And I love that. That's so refreshing to see that interest. And also to kind of dispel, like you touched on that, like maybe people's sort of thoughts or misinformation, right? And what's maybe made them have a bit of a hang up. And, you know, maybe they were going, thought they had to go down this path, right? Not realizing that this path was available to them, or how would I do this path? So really helping to dispel some of those myths and, you know, to just really watch like the growth, like, you know, Evan, I don't think I'd be talking. You wrote such a lovely, I guess letter, if you will, for the for the AGM referral reference recommendation.
Which, if you don't mind, I should say I'm going to link to in the show notes so people can read
Exactly.
too. Perfect.
And I don't think I'd be talking to school, but like Evan was in one of the sessions that I dealt with, and it was pretty refreshing to walk into that class and. See, and again, the groups are very small. So when we talk about class for those people who've never been to Reachability, I think it's important to realize that you're not going to be in a class of 35.
No.
Like when you think of schools now in 30, we're talking like three, four, maybe five at the maximum in a class. So you're almost getting one-on-one, right, assistance.
And in a lot of the courses, you are getting specific weeks of one-on-one as well.
Exactly. So when I walked in to first start talking to the group, you know, there was like, you know, a lot of intrepidation, like, oh, who's this? I'm a bit nervous. What's she going to ask? And, you know, Evan, everybody was very kind of quiet. And, you know, then we just started talking and having the conversation right through to I did Evan's mock interview.
Oh, interesting. Right? I didn't know that. Okay.
And so that I think was like a, you know, a really cool experience from my perspective, right? Because I knew what I was asking for questions. And but to watch, you know, Evan start the interview like he had no idea what I was going to ask. He didn't. He knew me from
and
like.
And probably didn't expect to be coming in to sit down with an HR professional and lawyer for your mock interview. But
He also, you know, knew me like for 1 hour, right? Like basically before.
Yeah.
So I could see the nerves and the somewhat anxiousness.
Yep.
And to just a very short period of time in, where you could tell all the things that Evan had learned, okay, in the various sessions that he'd had, right? He was using, right? And it was making him more confident, right? You know, because then I was nodding my head or then I was asking follow-up. And then we really just got in a we got in a dialogue and we actually ran out of time.
Yeah.
So then we had to talk about how...
Best mark of a successful interview in my book is when you run out of time because you're having a legitimate dialogue.
Yeah.
You're so caught
Absolutely. But we did have to, you know, we did have to come back and we did have to have some conversation about, well, what if that, you know, when that happens, when we run out of time and were there things that you didn't actually get to tell about your... self that you think are going to be important to make you stand out as a client, how to, you know, sort of sum up certain things. But it was just to watch that. So from an interviewer perspective, I loved being able to be part of that process because I saw growth already. And then I have to tell you that, Evan, that, you know, being able to watch you from like that session.
Right.
To how I've seen you, like at the times that I've been in, and your level of confidence is like amazing from from when I would have first saw you to today, even like to showing up at the AGM to speaking at the AGM,
which is a big deal if you're not normally used to addressing
that.
So
I, you know, I think all of that to say that there, Evan. You know, Evan said his journey was relatively short to get to here.
Well, so the, yeah, like a journey no, through reachability. There was a plenty before that.
Absolutely. Exactly. His journey through reachability was relatively short. But again, I think it's important for those people that, you know, are listening to this and pondering, oh, should I be reaching into reachability? Mm-hmm. That your journey will be customized to what need, right? Yeah. And there, you know, I think Evan alluded to the fact that he already did some hard work, okay, mm-hmm. before he got to reachability. Mm-hmm. And there are times, okay, as part of the intake where, you know, we need to set people up to do some hard work before we're not just putting you into the class to start doing employability skills and mock interviews if, you know, you're not ready. Like if you,
it's
if
not you need a one size fits all.
Exactly.
Right. Get
to, and that's really one of the things that, that helped put me at ease in reachability. And again, showed me that this place had a different attitude and a different policies of the assurance that I received that the support would continue as long as I needed it or desired it, regardless of timeline, which was huge because, again, in my previous journey, extensive, a lot of different groups and therapies, and a big part of that is also being made aware, especially if you're going through the public system here in Canada, the limitations of the resources and the timelines, and that you like you will get this much and then after that you're done, and like, and that feeling of pressure and anxiety of like needing to make maximum use out of those resources while you had them to get the best you can so that you can actually make the progress you need, because this is this feeling of like this is your one shot. Whereas here, it's a much different vibe, and I've seen that personally now, too, in my time working here and interacting with other clients now and seeing them become aware of that and making that realization and seeing the anxiety and stress levels of them visibly reduce, like, almost immediately.
It's funny you mention that, because it's actually a bit of a challenge for us on the other side of that, because, you know, we are a non-for-profit. Yes. We do have the same limited resources as everyone else. I wanted to mention, we're talking about how nice our environment is here. By nice, we mean we've taken some time to personalize. It's not fancy. We are a not-for-profit.
But there's effort.
Exactly, yeah. But when it comes to the client journey through, you're right. We don't ever want to rush. We don't want to make it a one-size-fits-all. Mm-hmm. We do always have to kind of fall on the other side too, where we're not letting anyone just kind of languish. There's always a push,
momentum.
But it's a gentle push through is the way I like to think of it. We have, I think, about 18 working mottos for this place, taglines that we use on everything, but my favorite one is no one goes nowhere, despite it being a bit of a double negative. But it's the most accurate descriptor for us here. If you're really stuck, if you're really not getting to where you want to go and you're really scrambling.
And you're genuinely ready.
Right.
That's a big part of it.
And you have, yes, and you have some drive to help yourself. Because if you come in the door, you have no drive to help yourself, and you're not willing to attempt to create that with the help that's here, no one's ever going to be able to help you. There is a level of personal responsibility from all of our clients. But we're going to work with them from exactly where they're at, and we're going to get them somewhere close to where they want to be.
Or redirect them someplace where they can receive the those foundational skills that they need to build a more robust structure off of.
Some people have a lot, and some people are starting from really tough spots.
Yes.
And have a lot of work they need to do personally on structuring their life and their life management skills before they can even consider going into an employment prep course. And that's fine. You, when you came here, you had done a lot of the work yourself. So, yeah, we were able to tailor it to you. Your journey is particularly interesting to me because it's a very rare thing where we actually transition a client into an employee, or in your case, sort of a contract employee at this point. But when that works, when we see someone who responds so well to not just the programming and the environment, but also to the other clients, if there's going to be a good fit and we can work that in the budget, why would we not? You have the perfect knowledge base because you've been on the other side. You've been through the client journey.
Yeah.
You can empathize with people coming through the door
absolutely.
Even better than the most well-intentioned facilitator can if they haven't been through that process themselves.
That's true.
Yours particularly interests me, though, because yours is a bit, to go back to Shelley when you were talking about encouraging entrepreneurship as well. What we're trying to do with you here is build some IT skills practically that you can practically use here to help us out. So it's self-serving too, because we need this work done.
Yeah, that win-win.
But then you have those skills once that's done, and you can use those in any workplace. You can be a person on call to help with these very particular things.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, we overuse the term win-win-win real hard around here, but in this one, it's
highly applicable.
It really is. It's been a huge win for everyone involved. So. Yeah.
And it's a great goal to target. It's like when you can make it happen, it is a beautiful thing for everyone to benefit from a result like that. And yeah, it has been remarkable. And yet those skills will be highly transferable and beneficial in so many different ways to so many different goals and paths and desires. Mm-hmm.
And you're making a bigger impact, too, which is the third win we always consider. Because, yes, there's the win for the employer, which we want. There's the win for the client, which we definitely want. But there is one less person out there in our community feeling unsure of themselves, feeling directionless, and not having some sort of job or prospect of some kind that they can wake up to and look forward to at the start of the day. That, in my head, is the greatest impact. We see so many people who are just stuck. It leads to problems in their family life. It leads to problems in larger in community life. We have a lot of people who come through our doors because they've been referred through the court system. Mm-hmm. So we see those real world issues that are caused from that directionlessness. So, that third win is honestly probably the biggest for us.
Yes.
Yeah, the other two are very important. We want the client to win, and we never want to send someone to the wrong job either. The right person, right job is another one of our many, many mottos around here. It is very important. But that community win, you're a great example of that, because I can just see the success, how it's working for us in a very selfish perspective. You've made my job much easier because you're taking on some IT things I cannot wrap my head around. But no, I can see you going into other workplaces and doing this in the future. And then once people get to know you a little better, too, it's, oh, well, what's your background? Well, it's this really interesting path through this agency you may have never heard of. Let me tell you what they do. Let me tell you about my journey. Mm-hmm. You can read this beautiful story that I've written. You're the best advertisement that I've seen from us here, which is, again, it's self-serving for us, but it's also a huge win.
That's wonderful. You, and that's a great point. I hadn't really considered that. But, yeah, as a sort of proof of... proof of concept.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like here's a sample product.
Yeah, exactly. And it's great when clients are coming in new now too, and that you're very open about your experience here and about the fact that you did start as a client. So, they may know out of the gate that this is not a typical client journey that ends with you actually working at Reachability.
Yes.
But they can still see not only the skill development, but the identifying of existing skills that you may not have known how to use. And they can identify with that and look at you as an example of, okay, what am I actually capable of doing right now that I'm not giving myself enough credit for that I could go and make something out of, make opportunities.
And that sense of purpose that I've derived from all that has been huge for my own mental health and its improvement. And then I hope that, maybe some of the other clients who have been aware of me during my time here, maybe they have seen that and can derive some, I guess, I don't want to say hope because that sounds too grand, but...
not at all, in my opinion.
Maybe.
No. Not even a little.
But
hope is what keeps us going.
I guess, or just some example of a success story of like, hey, if he can do it, then why can't I?
Yeah, and that's not just great for the clients either. I know you've both been on the receiving end of the Friday afternoon emails we occasionally get around here from one facilitator saying, here's my latest success story of the week. This is where this client is now working. This is the client who now has visitation rights to their children again for the first time in years.
Right.
None of us work in this sector because the pay is so great in the not-for-profit world. There's a lot of other very tangible benefits, and that's the biggest one is feeling that you're making an impact. And so, yeah, you're giving that hope not just to the clients, but you're a tangible example to the rest of us that, our efforts are paying off as well.
And that's great to hear. And as someone who has sent a few of those messages myself, that was very much the sense of wanting to express my appreciation for that and recognizing, being aware of very much that, those realities of our world, and that yeah, these are difficult positions that aren't well remunerated and are often overlooked and underappreciated by so many sectors of our society, and that it's easy for some of like those facilitators or whomever to fall into that sense of not dejected but frustrated. Mm-hmm. That potentially that sense of becoming jaded. And I just really wanted to express that sense of gratitude I had and to really communicate any win that I can, and make sure that those people, if they do help me, that they're aware of it, and mm-hmm. that they know that I appreciate what they did and I recognized it and I value it and I think it's important, and that they should they should receive kudos for that.
I think nice. you've definitely given that feeling to a lot of the people who work here. So I'm thank
glad
you for that.
You all deserve
so,
it.
So, well, we are as does always happen with our podcast.
We're running
we
over.
Just run over. We run over top. So, in closing, Evan, I want to thank you very much for sharing
thank
your
you.
Story, and I want to put it out there to those people listening to the podcast. Blake is going to be adding the link to Evan's review from mm-hmm. the AGM, his story, his journey. And for those, we didn't actually talk today, so I do want to just put this little plug in for Evan, that Evan has a background in journalism.
Yes.
I do, yes.
And I think you'll see, but when you read his client's journey story, that is very well written. So anybody out there who's looking to have, you know, maybe their AGM reports written or mm-hmm. have some documents worded by somebody who knows proper use of mm-hmm. The English language, good grammar skills, that's Evan's background as well. So Evan has many talents.
Mm-hmm. And circuitous route in life. Yeah.
Welcome to Reach. That is the person we look for more than anyone else,
absolutely.
To be honest with you. And we will, if you think we're not going to drag you into employment prep courses to have you teach how to write professionally at some point,
absolutely,
you're dreaming. Yeah. It's one of the things I love most about this place is that if you show any evidence of a skill, well, that was silly of you, because now you're going to be using that skill on the regular.
I really appreciate it, honestly. It feels great to make use of those things that for a long time were ended up becoming a source of like frustration, to feeling of like, why did I do these things?
Yeah. Why can't I specialize and drill down and be a professional of this?
Why am I learning all
of these skills?
Yeah, it's very nice.
As it turns out, it's so you can share them with other people who are in the same
way. Yes.
Exactly. And it is a way of positively, giving back.
Yeah.
I like how, Evan talked about now that, he's actually watching new clients come in and seeing their journey and their anxiety lesson. And now you actually have some skills. Just being able to talk about your journey is likely helping somebody else. So another great podcast. I love the fact that, today we really did talk about the journey, and it gives people more of an insight into what we do here mm-hmm. at Reachability. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much, Evan, for joining us and being so open and sharing.
And thank you for joining us on the team, because I know, like I said, it takes a lot to work here. It's not always a super positive day. Some days it's hard. Some days clients are not making the progress we need them to, and some days we're not helping them in the way that we need to, and it can be tough. And you've definitely brought a very positive energy here, but you've been a good reminder for why we're doing this, because we've really seen you flourish, and that's better than any paycheck at any job I've ever gotten. Not that we don't all have bills to pay and need that paycheck, but
another win.
Exactly, and if you're not getting something deeper than your pay out of your job,
yes, we all need a sense
of purpose. Well, you're not me, because I need that. I do, and I think most people do. And you've been a good reminder for that, so thank you.
Thank you very much. I feel a real sense of kinship here. And that weird circuitous route and my strange sort of scattered nature, I find makes me a good fit here, where I find this place and its environment more appealing than sort of more structured, rigid, yes. You know, predictable environments, because this place suits my own much less
predictable structured is not the word I would use for reachability workday. So I fully understand.
It's a great fit.
Good, I'm very glad. Well, thank you again very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me,
Shelley. Thank you for joining me as my lovely co-host again. It's been a pleasure as always.
A pleasure as always.
And thank you everyone for listening.
Thanks for listening to Within Our Reach. We'll be back in 2 weeks with our next episode. If you have an idea for an episode topic you'd like us to cover, or if you'd like to join us as a guest on the podcast, reach out to us at withinourreach@reachability.org.